right, time to blast off. It is the Buckmaster Show. We blast off into the final few days of February. Bob Dio, his smiling face on the other side of the glass. Bob is our engineer and producer, always does such a great job for us on the Buckmaster Show. Today being Monday, February the 25th, 2019. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. If there's anything during the hour that you would like to contribute to the program, we'd love to hear from you. 790-2040. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. It is our Monday Political Face-Off. With me in studio, Bruce Ash, seated to my right. Bruce is in his fourth term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Dr. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, seated to my left. Don and Bruce, how are you gentlemen today?
Just dandy, thank you.
Very good, thank you, Bill.
Don, it was good to see you at the travel show. I was just so honored to be invited to be one of the presenters at the Bon Voyage travel show. Record attendance yesterday at a facility, a beautiful resort I had not been to in a while. At the Hilton, used to be Sheraton Conquistador, right. Now the Hilton Conquistador, and with that snow on the mountains there, Don, that is a different view. You could look at the, driving into the resort. I think both of you know where I'm going with this. This doesn't even look like the Catalinas from where I reside in the central foothills. I mean, you could be like somewhere completely different.
It's a, just talking about the view, it's a gorgeous view up there, and we often go up a little farther and do some hikes and some running in Catalina State Park, and you have another completely different view, and the scenery is spectacular. And I'll share, the travel showcase was very enjoyable yesterday. You did a program, you and Ryan Hansen, I think top 10.
Yeah, top 10 spots. Destinations for 2019. Or some of these were kind of under the radar screen, like the Maldives, the Azores Islands. But a couple of them kind of reinforced, I know, places that you're actually planning to go, like Antarctica.
We are, and Berlin this summer. But I'll tell you, the biggest compliment is when my wife enjoys travel, not as much as I do, but when she's taking copious notes, that tells you, you all nailed it.
Very good, very good. Good to hear that. Bruce, how was your weekend? Have you been over to one of our great sponsors, Green Things? I know you've been to Moe's. I was at Moe's this weekend, actually.
I'm at Green Things almost every weekend, picking something up or looking for something, and getting ready for the spring plantings. I actually bought some succulents there a couple weeks ago, but speaking about Zocalo, I have spotted some large format pots, because I'm, in addition to all of the stuff in ground in my front garden, I'm going to do some larger format pots and have stuff coming out of that as well. So, there's no place better in town, and they have friendly service, their prices are great, and if you haven't been there in a while, you're not going to recognize the place.
Did you see a little of the Academy Awards last night, Don?
We watched it, and kind of going back and forth between that and the U of A game, but it was quite a mix. No one movie stood out.
And then Green Book winning the Best Picture was a surprise, but poor Glenn Close, 7 nominations. I thought this was really going to be her year, but boy, can I sympathize with her. I've had 5 Emmy nominations and never won, but it's a horrible feeling there when you're thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to be the year, and you sit there, nope, not this year, and you try to smile, oh gosh, I'm so happy for the folks that were in the category that did wind up winning. All right, let's talk a little politics here. Polls by Gallup and other organizations over the decades Don and Bruce have regularly found that a majority of Americans believe that corporations and the wealthy pay too little taxes. Don Jorgensen, this is kind of a fundamental piece of the platforms of the Democratic candidates for president in 2020.
It is. A number of the candidates have come out with different kinds of plans for addressing what's really considered the income inequality and the inequality in taxing that we see in the current systems. And it's a significant contrast from the past. And one of the kind of, I'll throw out just a few facts. One of them is from 1930 to 1980, the top tax rate was over 80%. Now it's down to 35%, which I think sounds great, because none of us want to pay more taxes. What all the Democrats are looking for is that everyone pays a fair share of taxes. But what's happened since 1980 is the income inequality has increased, and the per capita rate of income has dropped by half. What that means is the middle class, lower middle class, are treading water, are doing worse, while the wealthy are doing much better. And that's why this idea of finding a fair method of progressive taxation is now showing up in a lot of the plans, and also in contrast, of course, to the Trump tax cut, which hasn't produced any of the gains that were promised and has hurt a lot of Americans.
Bruce Ash, what's your take on this?
That my esteemed colleague is full of BS,
as you know, also as, known as facts.
Really,
but go ahead.
As most Democrats are, who are no longer just Democrats, they would hardly recognize the Democrat Socialists today.
3 minutes into the show, I think that's a record for using the word.
For even the Democrats of the late 20th or early 21st century. So, look, if you're a Democrat, there's not enough. Taxes that they can collect, but they're doing it the wrong way. And I disagree with Don on some stuff, but I think one thing I hope we can agree upon is that when people in this country are making money, they're paying taxes. I like paying taxes because it means I'm making money. And I pay right up to the very limit of what I'm supposed to pay, which Don mentions, and that's a fair thing to say. And I don't mind being at the 35% tax rate if that's where my income is. Now, there are some people who earn high incomes but actually don't pay at the 35% level because of other deductions that they have, legal, lawful deductions that they have. And most of these people are risk takers. They employ tons of people, or they take a pretty significant personal risk in running businesses, as well as borrowing money in order to get their businesses developed. And look, I don't mean any negative inference to those folks who don't pay taxes, but roughly 47%, according to the last information that I've seen, of Americans pay no taxes, and they shouldn't, because they don't earn an income that is really sufficient to pay for their own expenses and raise their families and so on. This country is at a crossroads. The president said it very well, and I think most Americans agreed with him. This is not going to be a socialist country at any time in the future, and it isn't one now. But the things that the Democrats are talking about, whether it's the New Green Deal or Medicare for All or all of the free education, you know, through college and so on, somebody's got to pay for it. And it can't just be for the rich, because there's not enough money that anybody's making in order to pay for these things. They're going to cost hundreds of trillions of dollars.
How will we pay for some of these things?
Well, it's funny that no one asked the Republicans how to pay for all their deficit spending that's come into play, how they're paying for the huge increase in the deficit and the debt due to the Trump tax plan and all of that. But I'll answer that question in a second, but let me get back to this whole idea of the 47% that don't pay taxes. Mitt Romney used that line, and that's one of the things that cost him the election. But what's happening today is...
Well, I'm not running for anything, Don.
Pardon?
I'm not running for anything today. And I speak truth. I speak truth. That is a fact. About 47% of Americans pay zero federal income tax.
Because they are in the lower income tax bracket and barely make enough to survive, and they're not getting ahead under the Republican economic plans. But you talk about folks not paying taxes. You know, one of the quotes that is brought up often accurately is Warren Buffett's, who is one of those folks who is at the top bracket, one of the billionaires, who said it's not right that he pays more in taxes than his secretary. Hmm. And that tells you the system is screwed up, and there needs to be a change there. And you mentioned individuals paying no taxes. We also have corporations paying no taxes, from Amazon to Netflix to GE. A lot of energy companies over the past 7 years have paid zero in taxes despite making billions in profit. So the tax system is messed up. What Democrats are trying to do is deal with these issues that Bruce brought up about the continued hits to the middle class and the lower middle class who can't afford college, who can't afford health care, who can't afford child care. And it's looking to improve the system for those folks.
Well, perhaps when we come back, we can really talk about positive changes that can be made opposed to bashing Republicans.
And we'll pick it up right there. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, moesgallery.com, presenting our Monday political face-off with Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash. Okay, drum roll, got some big news about Mona's. I've been cleared now to give the announcement. Don, you'll be happy about this because I know you're a big supporter of Mona's. And Bruce has tried to get up there. Well, now you've gone to Mona's.
I have been there several times.
Okay. Here's the announcement. There's been some exciting changes going on at Mona's. They will be serving a hot breakfast. They're putting in a grill and all sorts of other enhancements to the Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Now, when does it all happen? Well, the construction is going on right now, so we're hoping that the breakfast component will be online, say mid-March at the latest. But that's the good news. So now you can have your lovely bakery goods, your croissant and everything with eggs and everything else. Good news, Don?
We'll look forward to it. Absolutely.
All right. So that's coming at Mona's Danish Bakery, monasdanishbakery.com. And of course, there's a link to at buckmastershow.com to Mona's and all of our great sponsors. We'll continue with the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, tours daily, biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It is our Monday political face-off. We do the face-off every Monday. Been doing it since we launched the show the first week of January in 2011. The Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Took some items into Moe, some really nice watercolors. One from St. Lucia in the Caribbean, another one from Grenada. Oh my goodness, the work came back over the weekend. Bruce Ash, what do you think they look like?
Anything they do there is awesome. So there's no other place to go, and it's interesting because I've talked to a couple of gallery owners. And they also use Moe's for work that comes into them, because oftentimes it'll come in, just the actual board itself or a canvas, or it comes with some crummy thing, they want to sell the work.
Of course.
And it changes completely what that piece of art looks like with the right kind of presentation.
Yeah, it really does. That's Bruce Ash. Don Jorgensen is here as well. Let's pick up with you, Bruce, because right before the break, Don was talking about some of these issues that really are concerning Democrats. And you said something about, let's talk about ways we could perhaps address some of this how we could pay for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of these issues.
Look, what we're really facing right now in America is this huge kind of technological crossroads. We have a whole younger generation who largely, have lived in a technology world since they were born practically, and do get the new technology and so on. But you have all kinds of people who may not have achieved much in high school and have been out for a while in the working world. These folks, a lot of them, they don't have an opportunity to succeed in the world because they don't have right kind of job force training. Programs like we have at Pima are a great start, whether it be in aviation, whether it be in auto mechanics, in construction, in nursing, and so on. But we need a whole host of job force training kind of programs, ones that the government is not targeting like we've done in the past, okay? But give that innovation to junior colleges, to technical colleges, to regular four-year schools to do more vocational training. I mean, heck, If one of my grandchildren wanted to be a plumber or an electrician, I'd raise my hand and say, go for it, because those are guys that are making lots and lots of money. The aviation program alone at Pima, this is a very interesting thing. It's not an associate's degree they get. They get a certificate. But when they leave there, even with this program at Pima, they're able to find jobs that are waiting for them that are in the $40,000 to $60,000 range with another certificate that they can get along the way, along with their actual on-the-job work bill. They could be making between $80,000 and $100,000 a year naming their ticket. Yep. So whether it's in aviation or other forms of technology, whether it is in things like auto mechanics, there just aren't enough of these guys that are out there. There are tons and tons of opportunities that we need as a government. States as well as the federal government, we need to get serious about this. And there, I don't think there's any tax that somebody could put on an income if they were doing it for stuff like that. For example, Don, I'd do it in a heartbeat. And really, I don't mind paying more taxes. I've told my Republican friends this. I don't mind paying more Social Security taxes. I think it's kind of chintzy that we max out at it's $115,000.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, I think most of the people in this country, they'd pay more taxes if they felt that their tax dollars were going further for things that people really want.
Don, can I take a call here, and then we'll have your comment?
Absolutely.
All right. Ingrid has called us at 790-2040. Ingrid, what do you think about the taxes?
Well, initially I was going to call in earlier, but I was waiting for the break because the gentleman was still talking, but you're off on a slightly different subject. So I'll go on with the subject that they're discussing. Sean Hoffhein said that he's been asked to serve on a committee of some sort of council to get some occupational training, perhaps through the high school, and that's very exciting. I personally think that should be done when they should be done with high school at the age of 16, and while they're still their parents' dependents and so forth, and they're underage, the parents can figure out, you know, what kind of program to
put them. Do you have a question for Don and Bruce?
Well, do you really think that people are anxious to pay higher taxes? You know, there's a certain responsibility that we have as far as the number of children we bring into this world. If you can't afford to do this, that, and the other for your offspring, then maybe you shouldn't have so many.
All right.
There's a lot of people who are making that decision.
Don Jorgensen, why don't you comment?
Well, I'll come back to Bruce's discussion about providing college and technical education and all of that. And Bruce, I think, is ready to sign up with the Democratic Party because that's the Democratic Party position.
Not really.
I know he's turning red, and that's okay. We agree on that issue and the fact that, yes, people are willing to pay taxes if it's going toward investment in the future, and that's what that is. And that's why many of the Democrats are pushing a plan for free college. Now, you can start with free community college in the state of Arizona, which has been promoted, but the Republican legislature and the governor refused to look at it. But this is exactly what the Democratic position is. Don't just provide college for those whose families are lucky enough to be able to afford it. Provide it for all folks coming out of high school, exactly for this reason. Not everyone is right for an academic path. Many of them want to go toward vocational or a combination. It doesn't matter. But we know that experience, the technical education, the aviation programs Bruce mentioned, are exactly what's needed for the next generation who are going to then contribute to the economy and increase the revenues into the state just based on paying their fair share. So it's that investment that we're talking about. Instead of those dollars going into the pockets of the wealthy who, you know, another million is going to make a difference in their lives, give or take. It's going to make a huge difference by taking those funds and providing the investment into healthcare, or as we're saying, into education for the next generation, so that income inequality, so that opportunity inequality can be reversed.
So we do a lot in the state. JTED is one in the high school area, and we need to do more of that. And frankly, the legislature who's doing more isn't doing enough. It's been shown over and over and over again that JTED really does create a better situation, not just toward a vocation, a real occupation that somebody might have leaving high school, but I think even more importantly, improving their achievement scores and their overall grades while they're still in high school, which gives them a chance then to do almost anything they want because they created their own opportunity.
And keeping many in school who otherwise would drop out.
Absolutely. And look, we eliminated shop classes and these sorts of things years ago. I mean, what a huge mistake that was.
Agreed.
You know, so if it's not wood shop, let's say, you know, it can be computer stuff, or it can be, you know, different, science kind of things.
Sure.
STEM training in our schools, very, very important, and got to be done in a way that involves more kids getting more people out into the workforce.
I agree. I think all of us at the table agree, and I think Bob agrees as well in the next room. His hand is up. Okay, that's going to do it for the Monday Political Face-Off. Don Jorgensen, Bruce Ash, thank you, gentlemen, very much. I hope both of you have a great week.
You too. Thank you, Bill.
All right.
Thanks, Bill.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're located Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Check them out if you need any kind of framing done. They'll do it, and they'll do it right, and it turns out to be museum quality. It's exactly 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take our mid-show break, and we'll be right back on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Buckmaster, one of our great sponsors, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's just a three-hour drive from Tucson. There's so much always going on over there. Historic Silver City. Some of those buildings, those old Victorians, turn of the century buildings, turn of the last century building, are really beautiful. So check it out. Fun road trip. Silver City, complete listing of the many places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And their website is southwestnewmexico.org. The state of Arizona allows taxpayers to claim a credit for certain donations. Arizona taxpayers can claim a federal income tax deduction as well as a refundable Arizona income tax credit for donations to a qualified charitable organization. In effect, these credits lower your Arizona income tax bill. That's a good thing. And this is also a good thing. By funding organizations and causes you select, like the Family Caregiver Foundation, which is recognized by the state of Arizona as a qualified charitable organization. And they're also part of this Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition. Becky Booth is with me in studio. Becky, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you, Bill?
Thanks for being with us, doing well. You are the fundraising chair for the Family Caregiver Foundation. What is that organization all about? Now, are they based here in Tucson?
Yes, actually, we are only in Pima County right now. We're hoping to move throughout the state in the next few years, but we're young. We were 3 years old in August.
What's the kind of the genesis of that organization?
What we do is we raise funds to help relieve the stress that takes place for family caregivers. That stress can be traumatic, and there's a huge number of them. I want to say the last I heard was like 40% that actually pass away before the people they take care of due to not taking care of themselves.
Are you kidding?
Due to the stress.
40%?
Yeah. Yes, which is ridiculous.
They pass away before, 40% pass away before the people that they're even taking care of.
Yes.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
But it's extremely stressful. Mm-hmm. I went through a period where I had my mother who had Alzheimer's, my father who had Crohn's and was 6 years older than her, and my husband with colon cancer all at the same time.
Oh, my goodness.
And about 6 months after my husband passed away, someone came up to me and said, I don't want to be mean, but since Alan died, you look 6 years or 10 years younger. And I said, it's because I'm sleeping at night now, you know, because that is something that happens if they're sick. They're sick 24/7.
So you had your mother with Alzheimer's, your father, I believe, Crohn's.
Right.
And then your husband had
colon cancer.
Colon cancer.
Right.
This was all at the same time?
I lost them all within 18 months.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was, yeah, it was pretty crazy. Now, I had finally moved the last year or so, moved mom and dad into an assistant living home.
Right.
But I was still there every day. And every Friday, daddy and I spent out at the VA getting all of his doctor's appointments and treatments taken care of. And I was working a full-time job.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was very stressful. And so we started seeing that. You see that a lot with parents that take care of disabled children or spouses, or the baby boomers. It's getting huge, taking care of our parents,
right,
and that type of thing. And so, yeah, it's we want to relieve stress. Now, when we started, we thought relieving stress meant a massage and a pedicure and a manicure and stuff like that. And the requests we've had have been so different.
And the whole, now you are serving all sorts of needs, right?
All sorts of needs.
Give us kind of the A to Z.
Okay, we've done everything from lady's bathroom door fell off and she had her three teenage grandchildren living with her because she had lost a bunch of people within a 2 year period. And when we got in to fix the bathroom door, it turned out that the house was full of termites.
Oh my goodness.
So we treat it for termites. We replaced the door. While our guy was there, he saw an electrical cord dangling from the roof. So he went up to see what that was, and her electrical on the roof didn't work for the cooler, so they had an extension cord coming down to plug in downstairs.
Wow.
So we fixed that. We've had people that just, sometimes they just need help in getting the house cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
Or they need somebody to pick up medicines for them, or a ride to the doctor's office. Or they're on their way to a doctor's appointment and they have a flat tire and they don't have a spare. They don't know what to do.
Let's see if we can work a quick call in,
okay.
Becky. Greg has called us. Hey, Greg, how are you?
I'm all right. A quick question. I'm curious, where can I find the that 40% number? That's crazy.
Well, that was something that I actually had someone say to me recently. I think if you search caregivers, family caregivers on the web, you'll get that number. That was just the latest number that I had heard.
Okay.
But it is. It's an outrageous number.
So if someone does this donation, they can specify, right, the Family Caregiver Foundation?
Yes.
How does that work? What's an easy way for people to get to that?
The easy way is just to go to our website, which is www.familycaregiver.foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And on there, if you make a donation, then we send you a receipt and give that receipt to your tax preparer. And they can go ahead and get you that tax credit. And it's not a deduction with the state. It's a credit. So it's a dollar-for-dollar credit. So if you give us $200, you get $200 off from your state taxes.
Well, that's a great way to help out an organization, because I'm sure that you could use the help, right?
Absolutely.
You're a new organization. I think you said 3 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and our other thing is just trying to get our name out there and let people know that we're there for them.
Mm-hmm. Were you one of the founders then of this? Or?
I was not. My sister founded it, actually,
okay.
Naomi Altergott.
Uh-huh.
And she founded it, and then I came on board about a year later.
Okay.
And started working with her. I was still trying to get through some things. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's the nice thing about the tax credit, just so you know,
right.
is people usually think of giving to their kids' schools for that.
Sure.
They can still do that. But if they have more money than what they've given to the schools, there are 5 different areas that they can donate to. And so they can make donations up to certain amounts for each group and still get their tax credit.
Do you offer counseling to some of the family caregivers?
We do. We actually offer personal
huge.
Coaching, and we offer business coaching. We have someone that does UV lighting treatments, and we have someone that can do hypnosis. There's a lot of things that we have available for the family. If you go to the website again, you can see there's quite a few things. Our big thing with family caregivers is we've got life coaching, hypnosis workshops, health coaching, massage therapy, respite care. That's the big one right there that people need is respite care.
What are these beautiful cards? You gave me a packet of these lovely note cards.
Those are cards that we give to everyone that gives us $25 or more as a donation with a thank you note. And they are note cards that you can use. The design on them, our web designer is an artist, and Eric Galbraith has iLink Design, and he donated copies of some of his personal art that's on the front of it. And it's abstract art. It's very pretty. Great colors.
Becky Booth is with us, 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. She's talking about the tax giver, the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, and designate her organization. She would love you to do that. Family Caregiver Foundation, and all the information about the tax credit is at their website, Family Caregiver Foundation. What did your own physician say after you had gone through that terrible stress of the 3 loved ones in your family, your mom and your dad and your husband, all within an 18-month period, all passing away?
Well, the big thing I had to work on was my blood pressure, needless to say, but I never had to go on medication for that.
That's
great. So it's one of the things that actually my sister, who does the hypnosis and the personal coaching, was really there for me.
But that's dangerous,
you know,
when you get, you know, that kind of stress. And
you know what? You just kind of go on yeah. autopilot and go.
Yeah.
You really do. You just keep going. The hard part was when it was all done.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you have nobody to take care of.
Yeah.
That's really hard.
Huh, yeah, I never thought of that. It's there's
yeah.
like an empty void suddenly.
Well,
yeah.
and friends that like couples that you did things with
right.
kind of feel weird, so they disappear.
Wow.
Friends disappear, they don't know what to say. It becomes really, really hard for people to kind of hang out with you and do things. So you you really do kind of end up on your own.
Becky Booth, thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
And again, it's Family Caregiver Foundation. That's the great starting place for you. And is that a .org family?
No, we're a .foundation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's Family Caregiver Foundation dot.
No, it's Family Caregiver Family Caregiver Foundation.
Okay.
So yes, they have several different dots these days that you
All
can
right.
subscribe to. So we just made it dot foundation.
Okay. Thank you very much, Becky, and all the best to you. Thanks.
Thank you.
We're coming up at, well, we're exactly at 12:45. It's Buckmaster on a Monday, 10:30. The Voice, trusted local news and talk, waiting patiently to come on next. The Buckmaster Show education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks. He'll be with us right after the break.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things, been around since 1970. Boy, so much excitement over there. We talked a little bit about it with Bruce Ash, one of their big customers, as am I. We talked about that with Bruce at the top of the show, all the exciting things at Zocalo, the village, Zocalo Village. On the 13 acres of Green Things, the great collection of Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture. There's another one of the open houses. They had one Saturday afternoon, and it was very, very popular from 1 to 6. There will be another one coming up this weekend at Green Things on Saturday. The Zocalo open house continues. Let's welcome now the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, associate professor emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. Bob Hendricks was named Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Well School District. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill.
It's good to see you at the travel show yesterday.
Great experience.
I padded the audience with all my friends. Now, I had, Don Jorgensen here, who was on our face-off today. Don was in the audience. You were in the audience, and hopefully you learned some things about under-the-radar travel destinations.
I did. I think I continued dreaming about it last night. There's so many exciting places to go. And
so little time, so many places.
The bucket's only so big.
That's for sure, yeah. What's the deal with virtual schools? They're popping up everywhere, and we're talking about people who are not going to a brick-and-mortar,
right,
traditional kind of public school. They're doing it all like on the computer, right?
Right. Well, we've certainly seen an influx of this activity at the college level, but now it's really moved down into the K-12 segment, and we're seeing a rapid expansion of this kind of program. According to a recent count, there's over 300,000 students, that attend online schools nationally. There's over 400 schools.
Starting with the K through 12.
K through 12.
There's that many now. That many. They're not even leaving their home to go to school and interact with other kids.
No, they're
not. That's what kind of jumps out at me, that when I think back to the experience of school, is the interaction and the fun with the other kids.
It is. And, you know, I've really kind of wrestled with this idea because as a longtime practicing educator, you really believe in student engagement and the socialization experience and so forth, but times have changed and not everybody wants that part of experience. And we've talked before about homeschooling.
Yeah.
Well, this is really a modification of homeschooling. When you think about it, there's a structured curriculum that's added to this experience of being at home and using the computer as the primary instructional delivery vehicle.
But you can't play kickball with the computer.
No, you can't. But parents who select the online schooling are basically the same parents that select homeschooling. And there's a number of reasons that they report that they want to do this. One is that they're not comfortable with the environment in today's schools. They want an environment that's free of bullying and all the social pressures and drugs. And they feel that, you know, having their child at home and being accountable for where they are is a much safer environment.
They can control the environment.
They can control the set then.
They basically have the setting is the way they want it.
Correct. And there certainly are philosophical and religious reasons that some people select to keep their children home. And then there are those parents who've got kind of crosswise with schools.
Yeah.
They don't like the organization. They don't like the policies. They don't like the teachers. It becomes kind of a blame game for some of them. And then there are some students who really want a flexible schedule. And they want a system where they can decide when they want to go to school. You got a high school student who wants a part-time job,
right.
All kinds of things.
Let's go to the live line now, 790-2040 on 1030. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Robert Hendricks is with us in studio, and Jim Kelly, our friend Jim, is on the live line right now. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Thank you, Bill. Hey, hi, Bob. Hey, listen, I'm glad that you started naming off a lot of the reasons that parents don't like their kids in traditional schooling, and they're all very valid reasons. Unfortunately, big education doesn't want to validate those feelings of the parents, thus the reason for online school. But there are online school places where the kids do get together. In other words, young people will go meet at a park, and so it's sort of like a play group, but it is other kids learning online that will go to the park for an hour or two and get some cardio in while they're out, playing and things like that. There are avenues for social interaction with other kids in the same age group. If the parents, you know, actually take advantage of them, and they certainly can. So there's, you know, that's not really a negative of, oh, they're not involved in sports, or they're not doing that, because they can and they do.
Well, okay. I think there's there are different kinds of online models. One that I'm particularly interested in is the CAVA model, which is the California certified model, and this is a synchronous program. In other words, students have to log in. They have to be actively engaged with a certified teacher during specific times of the day. And their progress is monitored. There's established curriculum. They even have specific field trips and points in time where students come together with their teachers. That's more of a hybrid model. Mm-hmm. The other kind of model is one that I think is a little bit more subject to scrutiny, and that's the asynchronous model, which students can log in anytime. It's totally computer-generated. It's self-guided. There's a series of lessons with competency exams, but there's not a lot of interaction with teachers. Yes, you can contact someone if you have difficulty, but there's not the same kind of monitoring and accountability. And I think if I were to support, at least based on the statistical results I've seen, if I were to support a model, it would be the CAVA model, where there really is a specific time period where students are held accountable. There's attendance, there are curriculum outcomes, and this seems to be working much, much better than the other plans.
What is the academic achievement level for the virtual? You said there are 300,000 students. Do we know how those students are doing?
Well, there's a recent study in Wisconsin that indicates that there was about a 38% dropout rate on the online schools. And when students went back, and many of them opted to go back to the traditional school, there was about a 10-point drop in math scores in particular. What I don't know, and what I think would be subject to a lot more review, is what kind of schools are they? We need to really take a closer look at what kind of online model is there. If there is actual accountability, it might not be that kind of a situation.
Are the public school districts getting involved in this?
Well, in California, the CAVA system, which has 9 outlets throughout the state, is a California public school system. And so the California public schools with state certification have really bought into the idea that online schooling can work as long as there is an accountability model that goes with it.
Hmm. But a lot of questions as far as you're concerned.
There are questions. Hmm.
Namely, the interaction piece.
I think the interaction piece is an important part. I was in Hong Kong recently, and I was in a hotel lounge, and I saw two students with their earphones and computers, and I was curious as to what they were doing. And when they took a break, one student was studying for an AP course in history, and he explained to me that he feels like there was a lot of social interaction. He travels with his parents around the world. He plays on a soccer team. Mm-hmm. He gets together with friends all the time, and he does not feel that it inhibits.
He doesn't feel like he's missing
anything.
He any
does not feel he's okay. been inhibited in any way.
Okay, Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show contributor. Thank you very much, Bob.
You're
good
welcome.
To see you. All right, quickly running out of time, we have Steve Rivera waiting in the wings, the Eye on the Ball sports show. Some breaking sports news. Did I see that? Yeah, some news about Sean Miller. Yeah, we'll find out about that. Bob Dio, thanks, Bob. Good to see you. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm Bill Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.